acknowledge people today and give thanks to God for the investment of time and energy into serving the Lord. And remember that the church is so dependent upon you and all of us with our abilities and our availability. We'd like to honour everybody, but we can't do that. But the true honour that I'm sure we all seek and desire, and that is the honour that the Lord will one day say those incredible words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." From the lips of the one who himself was faithful unto death, who in the brief ministry that Jesus had on earth, from dawn till dusk and into the night, gave himself to the service of others, moved with compassion, driven by love and by obedience to his Father and commitment to his Father. And he will be the one who will look at us, hopefully, and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." A missionary couple were in Africa for many years serving the Lord. When they came back to England, they were on a ship, and the ship came into the dock, and as they looked out, there were crowds of people with great big banners saying, "Welcome home," and there were streamers and people clapping, and they were quite amazed. They knew that they had a strong prayer base and interest among the churches, but they didn't know that there was such a great interest in welcoming them back. And so they walked down the gangplank, as they did in those days, and came down to where the crowd were, and the people kept looking past them to a great personality that was on the ship who'd been in Africa just for 2 weeks. And this popular personality was the one that they were welcoming back, not the older missionary couple. And the wife, as they got away from the crowds and sat in quiet, she said, "I was so embarrassed. And here we are, we've given our lives to serving in Africa, and no one was there to welcome us back home." And the man turned to her and said, "It's all right, honey, we're not home yet." I'm going to ask Marg to read just a little bit of the portion that she's going to read for us this morning. So if you've got your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 23, and only verses 8 to 12. Still there.
Yay, missing out some of these names. These are the names of David's mighty men: Josheb, Bathshebeth, and Tachemonite was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pass Damon for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi the Harahite. When the Philistines banded together at a place, there was a field of lentils. Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought a great victory.
When David had to flee into the wilderness and hide in the cave of Adullam, a band of men from all over Israel made their way to him. These men were discouraged, discontent. They were broken people. They were failures. Some had lost all their wealth and there was no social security, so they had to become really beggars. They were troubled men. At the end of David's ministry and life, and the part that we're reading now from God's Word, where David, his last words had just been said in the first few verses of chapter 23. And at the end of his life, he honours those who had stood by him from that rabble crowd that had joined him in the wilderness, now had become what he called the mighty men. The top three, and then others of all his great men who had fought with him and had served so faithfully. And I want to say two things because time is brief, and I'll just, the two major points I want to say this morning. When we come to serving God in the life of a church, we're serving God. We're not serving the church. We're not serving the pastor. We're not serving our leader in our area of ministry. We're serving God. We're serving our Lord Jesus Christ, our King David. Our King David is Jesus. And he is able to take people who are broken and discouraged, who may have been through difficult times and as a result of that may even feel quite rejected. And he's able to take those people and make them great men and women of God who serve faithfully and loyally their King. And there's two things, if you want to know what distinguished these mighty men among all the others, there were 400 initially that went out to King David. When he was out, he wasn't king then, but when he was out in the wilderness, 400 and then others joined, but out of all those numbers, there were some, just a few, a handful, that were his mighty men. And there's two things that stand out to me about them. First of all, they were committed themselves to serving their king. They were totally committed to him. They followed him. They actually left the comforts, if they did have comforts, some of them didn't, but they left their homes, their families, their communities, and they went out into the desert, into a place of danger, because Saul was trying to, with his army, was trying to kill and get rid of this David. And they committed themselves to him, and they made him, it says there, their leader. Jesus, in a similar way, chose 12 who were ordinary people. It seems to me that as I read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, God loves ordinary people and loves to be able to take those ordinary people and make them mighty men and women of God who can do under him great things for his glory and his kingdom. Apathy and the busyness of life and other distractions can keep us from serving the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, are you committed to serving your King? I think apathy is one of the biggest problems facing the church in Australia. Just a lack of commitment, really, that's all it is. Jesus spoke of the church at Ephesus as being a church where he said, I want to spew you out of my mouth because you're neither hot nor cold. You're apathetic. Listen to the words he says. You say, I am rich with everything I want, Jesus said. He says, you say, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that spiritually you are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. In the movie The Patriot, Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger, in that incredible movie which we enjoyed watching, in South Carolina during the American Revolutionary War, Benjamin Martin was the name of the guy who was a widower with seven children. He was a former soldier. And he remains passive. He doesn't want to get on one side or the other, the Brits or the revolutionaries. He, in his big home, he's set up there to be totally passive and neutral. So he offers medical care to both the British and the American soldiers who came for help. When the British colonel, William Tavington, realises that he's helping the Americans, he kills Martin's son and burns down his farm for harbouring the enemy. All of a sudden, this man who was passive, who was neutral, who was not willing to get engaged and involved in the war, was fired up and wide-eyed with fury. Passivity was lost, and the warrior in him awoke, and he went out to fight the enemy. Sometimes God allows circumstances in our lives to actually awaken in us the drive and the energy to be committed to him and to the cause of Christ. You see, we are saved from hell and judgment. We're saved from sin and all that consequences that come from that. But we're saved to serve. And God wants us involved in the life of a church, involved in mission, involved in outreach, in order that we may fulfill what he's called us to do. He hasn't called us just to be believers. He's called us to be warriors, to be fighters, to be in the truest sense. Not physically, obviously, but in the warriors of truth and righteousness and of love. Second thing we learn here from these men is that they had the qualities that were valued by their king. There were qualities in the lives of these men that David wanted to honour. And I pick up on, in fact, some of them I'll point to in one of these men or the other, but they're probably all true of all of them. And the first one that stands out to me is courage. Here was a man, Josheb, and whatever his second name is, who was there facing 800 men with a spear. He raised his spear and he killed them in one encounter. Can you imagine that? These armoured men around you, 800 of them, and one man stood against them. Courage is incredibly important in serving God, because it's never going to be easy. You cannot serve God in this church without some form of difficulty. There's going to be discouragement. There's going to be criticism. There's going to be disappointments where people fail. And whether it's people who you're working with or people you're sharing and seeking to encourage or help, and it turns around sometimes and you get hurt. And to then pick yourself up and face whatever it is and move ahead takes courage. Stamina, Eliezer is the next one. And he was there when the rest of the army was around him, and then there was the trumpet call for them to pull back and to retreat. And it says there, when the men of Israel retreated, he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew so tired it froze to the sword. Have you ever done that when you've been doing something with your hand and so tired that you actually can't move your hand anymore? He was totally exhausted, and yet he stood his ground and he won the victory. And it says the Lord brought about a great victory that day. In his stamina and his standing firm and not giving up. The next one is Shammah, and he is renowned for his faith. He was similar to the previous one, but he refused to give in when all the rest of Israel didn't retreat. They fled. All around him fled, and he was left alone. And again, it says, the Lord brought about a great victory. Then we see there were three men, we didn't read it to you, three men who heard David say he wanted a drink from Bethlehem, and they broke enemy lines and they went through and they got some water and brought it back for their king, for David. They've sacrificed their life, they were willing. It was amazing that they got through and got back safe. They were willing to sacrifice their lives just for the pleasure that the king might have in taking some water from Bethlehem. And David saw the sacrifice, the self-sacrifice of that act, so much so that he wouldn't even drink the water. He put it out like an oblation to the Lord on the ground. Self-sacrificial love. And the next one we see is Abishai. He was another one who we read of here, who it says he raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and he became famous as the three. And this man, we see him as a loyal follower. Loyalty is absolutely a part of our love for God. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word steadfast love that you read in the Bible, sometimes it says the steadfast love of the Lord, that word is chesed in Hebrew, and it means loyal love. And part of the qualities that our king looks for is loyalty. And finally, there's Benaiah. Benaiah, we could have read about, but he was a man who fought a huge Egyptian. We've got a couple of Egyptians here, and we love them. But this man was a huge Egyptian, it says. And this guy had the big Egyptian had a spear, but this man, Benaiah, only had a club. He felt he was handicapped. And so I've got down there that he was undaunted by his handicaps. And we sometimes hide behind excuses when we're faced with the opportunities of serving the Lord and say, well, I've only got a little club. I don't feel very capable of being involved in serving the Lord in that area or that. But God is able to take you in your weakness and with your what you regard as a handicap and be glorified in that. Look, I want to finish by giving an illustration which I read, which I thought was something powerful that we can take with us. Bertoldo di Giovanni was an Italian sculptor, probably the most famous in the 15th century Florence. And he was the one who taught students in that day. He was the master teacher of the school there. And Giovanni was the teacher of Michelangelo. Now, Michelangelo, when he was only 15, went and actually lived there because they recognized he had such talent even at that age. And had this natural talent. Giovanni was worried about Michelangelo because Michelangelo, because of his natural talent, just used to cruise and not really put the time and energy and effort into what he was meant to be doing. One day, Giovanni was watching Michelangelo working on a little piece of statue he was doing. And he walked over and picked up the sledgehammer and battered it into 1,000 pieces, and they ricocheted all over the room. And he shouted to Michelangelo, he said, "Talent is cheap, dedication is costly." God has given us talents and gifts and abilities, but it's the dedication and the actual willingness to invest time and energy and effort into serving God that he looks for. Talent is cheap. It's cheap in the sense that God's given it to us. It's something we have and we can develop. But dedication is costly. We do want to thank all those who have dedicated themselves. I see it around the place so much. I see people who you don't even realize are up the back there cleaning up and putting in flowers and a nice little garden at the back there without any of us knowing, and it just looks so much better. And other people are working here and there and giving time to practicing here and doing stuff behind the scenes, as well as those who do things that we do see. There's so much that goes on in the kitchen, in preparation for things. And we want to honour those this morning. We want to also recognise that God is the one who inspires in us any desire to serve Him in this way. And the call is for all of us to be encouraged and to look into the new year and say, how, Lord, do you want me to serve you next year? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we had this morning to learn from you and see in the lives of these men an incredible quality or qualities that caused them to be able to do great things under your hand. And we know that it was you that gave them the victory, but it required their courage, it required their stamina, it required their selfless service, it required all those qualities from them in order to be in a place where you could take them and use them, and that you would be glorified, and that David's rule would be one of great honour and glory because of these men who actually served him. And we want to honour you this morning, Lord Jesus. You're our King, and may we serve you, not ourselves, not the church, but you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.